Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome to Legal Eagle with myself, Brother Suleiman Yusuf, every Friday evenings between 8 and 9 p.m. Today being the 24th of Jumad al-Ula 1447, corresponding to Friday the 14th of November 2025. With us on our show, we have our respected attorney Zahir Umar. Attorney Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Attorney Sahab, Jazakallah Khairan for giving out your time as always. Attorney Sahab, without wasting any time, let us begin with our program, inshallah. Attorney Sahab, with regards to the program, what should one do if one's company of batil or falsehood or bid'ah is being promoted?
That's a very, very good question, Wallah, especially now in the time of sin, Marana. The answer to your question is the following, Marana. If one happens to be in a company where batil, falsehood, or bid'ah is being promoted, and one lacks the ability to refute it, or there is the fear of fitna, then act in terms of the ayah. Do not sit with him until they discuss another talk. Then withdraw from the gathering, saying, I'm unable to tolerate what is being said. This will suffice. Now, Marana, this is becoming more and more prevalent. You know, amongst our Muslim youth and amongst those who wish to refute the teachings of the Quran and Hadith, they will, for example, talk about the catastrophe taking place in Palestine, and they will make utterances, how can they be God, how can they run apart. Now, when you hear such nonsense, Marana, you tell them, look, throughout the history of mankind, there were incidents of victory for Muslims and incidents of defeat, battle, various battles in the time of the Sahaba. But this should be no reason why our iman should be doused. Our first pillar of Islam is iman. We should never allow our iman to be doused. We should never allow ourselves to be sit in the company of people who are going to make utterances of batil, make utterances that will have the effect of eroding on our iman.
No, definitely, Attorney Sahab, you know, Mufti Sahab always speaks about how we should protect one's iman. And also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mentioned that the time will come when holding on to one's iman will be like holding on to a burning coal. Attorney Sahab, our next question or topic of discussion is, can we discuss the feigned or simulated humility?
Humility, more than that. Now, this is a very interesting question when I was asking. Feigned or simulated humility. One of them, you know, for a person to inculcate the character or the habit to be humble, that is one of the keys to find closeness to Allah. But one, I say this with great respect, Allah. You know, I grew up in a Tabligh family. In fact, they have our own masjid in the farm in Ajum.
Sure.
We host a Tabligh Jamaat. One of them, my late brother, man, like in Janet, my brother Boshin is also in Jamaat. I also participated in Jamaat as a child and much later too. More than what I find pretty troubling, Mona, when Jamaat charges come and they talk of 4 months and lifetimers, and they then resort to talking Gujarati and others who don't understand Gujarati or those who talk business.
Sure.
And they pretend to be humble. That's a terrible, horrible thing, Mona. There is actually a display of arrogance and it's feigned humility. That is horrible and that should be avoided. And we should talk to our kids and amongst ourselves. Let us avoid feigned or simulated humility. Now, the English terminology one is when one pretends to be humble, but in fact displaying deep arrogance, which is in fact haram. It is called simulated kali-kali. In other words, it's kali-kali humility. Let us avoid that, because people see it. And what when someone indulges in simulated humility or kali-kali humility, it makes the recipients observing this embarrassed. Because we in the masjid, or we're going out in Jamaat, you don't want to embarrass the person. But presence in his life, that when he is engaging in such calical humanity, he makes a fool of himself.
Yeah.
Rather avoid it. See, astaghfirullah, try and be in a constant state of zikr when, throughout your life, throughout all activities, but when you are in jamaat, recite, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْ فَقُولْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَّهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. All the time in your mind. If you softly whisper to, it means sufficient for me to Allah, and Allah is the best disposal of it. Indulge in fikr, that when you're closer to Allah, you'll strengthen your iman.
I mean, definitely. And also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that one who has an atom weight of pride in their heart, no one who has an atom of weight of their pride in their heart will enter paradise. So this teaches us the importance of being humble, because, you know, I always say that when you, even when you go to for Umrah or for Hajj, the CEO of a company and a janitor, when you adorn the ihram, you are in the eyes of Almighty Allah. You are the same in the eyes of Almighty Allah. There's no higher status than the other. And even when you go to Muzdalifah and you go to Mina, when you're sleeping on that mattress, you're sleeping, there's no queen-size mattress or king-size or single bed. They all are the same.
Absolutely.
That's the thing about having a humility. Allah Ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. Tariqah, the next one, what is the benefit of, I know it's a sunnah that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mentioned that we should keep at least a fist length for the male, to keep a fist length beard. And then I also know that I heard that scientists have now come up of the health benefits with regards to keeping a beard.
First, you know, a male person who is clean shaven exhibits effeminate. In simple terms, when we keep it, it'll come off. But that is maybe in short. But the benefit of keeping a beard, Mona, is the following. The beard creates nose in the face, Mona. A person with a beard, Mona, even, the non-Muslim, when he has a beard, he exhibits a light. It's a nur. Nur is light. The beard is something of great honor and respect, Mona. The custom of shaving is indeed vile and abominable. In fact, a clean shaven face resembles a skin tick. Mona, these are not my words, Mona. I'm saying this again slowly, Mona. Listen. The custom of shaving is indeed vile and abominable. Now, these are very fancy English words, which means the custom of shaving is indeed twisted, sick, filthy. In fact, a clean-shaven face resembles a skinned pig. That's the truth. Now, this is not my words, Mona. These are the words I'm quoting from Mount Wizard, Part 9, by Mufti Desai, Majlis Ulama of Saudiya. Now, Mufti Desai, Mona. Mufti Desai or Majlis. I know of no living person on this earth who practices this with such minute detail the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Mufti Desai. So I don't challenge you. I want to tell the listeners. In fact, a clean shaven face for a man resembles a skin pig. Our kids should be taught not to shave their faces. Having a beard is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's an emulation of the practice of the Sahaba. Avoid shaving the beard.
No, definitely. And also, you know, it comes to mind that some people cannot grow facial hair. Now, you mentioned that I think there's some leniency when it comes to such people, if I'm not mistaken, Tanisa.
My son Abdullah, my younger, he's a very nice boy. He had difficulty in growing a beard. Then my cousin, my late mother's sister, Morana Tao Samson. Me too, it's difficult. But there is no excuse to cut the beard. My son Abdullah, even Mona Dao Samson, they keep the beard. You can, it's visible, you can see. They have difficulty growing it. But there is no reason to shave it. You let it go purely for the pleasure of Allah. You let it go as you look in the mirror or you play with your beard. You ask Allah, Ya Allah, I am trying my best to emulate your beloved Nabi. And who knows, your dua forbid to be thrown in the lifetime will be granted. Alternatively, you give innama al-amalu binyan. Innama al-amalu binyan. Every good deed is but according to the intention on the people. If you can't grow a full beard, and if you have sincere intention to have a full beautiful looking beard, Allah will forgive you. That is stated in the hadith, innama al-amalu binyan. Every good deed is but according to the intention on niyyah made for it.
Definitely. Atani sahab, I know you always mention with regards to having tawakkal in Almighty Allah, and you recite the verses for intawallahu fakul hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. Now, with that being said, Atani sahab, the verses with reliance, I know there's many verses and also a hadith with regards to having reliance and taqwa in Almighty Allah in any situation, any form in life that you go through.
I didn't hear the question clearly. Please repeat.
I say, with regards to reliance, the verses, if the attorney sub can discuss
the verses.
With regards to reliance from the Noble Quran, and also with regards to Ahadith.
Morana, this is a debate almost every day. You see people coming out and quoting from the Quran, big chunks from the Quran, and pretending to be very, very clever. You know, and then engaging in debate, and then, but the Quran says this. I wish lawyers are listening to this program. You're the best person who will understand why you cannot rely on verses from the Quran without reference to reliance on hadith. Will be a lawyer, because Morana, you can by heart all the statutes in the country and custom. You still won't be a proper lawyer. Now, to understand, for example, South African law. You have the statute law, and to fully understand the statute law, you have to go to the common law and case law. These are all sources of the law. Now, if for you to understand the Quran, more than that, you know, Shakespearean English, if you take a book, Shakespearean book, you will never understand the English. You have to go and see how the people practice upon it. For example, Macbeth. You know, in Macbeth, Shylock says lawyers or barristers are shysters. Now, what's a shyster? The shyster is a very old English word. Now, to understand the Quran, you have to go to the hadith. Now, who lived out the Quran? Who is the person who actually lived every aspect of the precepts of the Quran? Beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Then the Sahaba, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Juwayriya, and the Sahaba, the most authentic is, Mona can help me with the hadith. The most authentic is a book, Mona, which is often used, which is set out the practices of Rasulullah with authenticity. And that.
Is it Fazail Amal,
Tinsab? A Russian writer, what was his name? I forget his name, Mona.
No, inshallah,
it's regarded to be the most authentic hadith, Mona.
Imam Bukhari.
Allah, you're a genius. Thank you, Mona. Yes. Mona, for example, if you get Bukhari, there are many, but Bukhari, in my respectful view, is the most authentic. You look at Bukhari, Mona. You study Bukhari. Yeah. Bukhari works, right, sets out how Rasulullah lived. Now, for example, Rasulullah went to the toilet. How Rasulullah ate, what Rasulullah, how Rasulullah covered his hair with, how women at the time of the Sahaba dressed. This you will all get from the teachings of Bukhari. And then after studying Bukhari, which is a compilation of the hadith, you will understand the Quran. But you can't go out and preach Quran in disregard to hadith. Then with respect to the fool, now people who say the hadith is inaccurate and should be disregarded, these people are out of the fold of Islam. That's a fact. You can never ever understand Quran without reconciling and understanding the hadith. The Quran is a book of laws. It is written in very unique Arabic, classical Arabic, and to fully comprehend and understand Quran, you have to follow the hadith. The hadith is an example of Quran will slip out that the beloved Nabi Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba.
And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in his final sermon that I leave behind two things, my Quran and my Sunnah. And if you follow those two things, your life will be as perfect as you want it to be.
Yes.
The book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down the Quran as a guidance for everything, any problem, any issue in life that we have, we must turn to Quran. It has the life solution to anything. And look at it, we have depression, you have anxiety, you want to get married, with inheritance, all these things, it's in the Quran. It's a guide, for, it's a perfect guide for us as Muslims. No, definitely, definitely. Atari Sahab, our next topic, more on to our legal side. Now, with regards to, but I tell you something, before we go on to this President Trump, right? The big news that happened yesterday was the 153 Palestinians that boarded and entered our South African lands. Can we discuss that there, Atani Sahab? What is your view with regards to that?
More than that, the people who brought the Palestinians in our country should be applauded. They did a very good thing, Mullah. And if they need assistance, we must assist them, Mullah. The Palestinians have sacrificed a lot. And if we can bring relief from suffering, even to one Palestinian, in my respect of you, it will be a good thing, Mullah. And the people who have brought the Palestinians, if they need help and support, they could do it via Markaz Sahaba. I certainly will give, and I'm sure all listeners will give, to assist the Palestinian brothers and sisters. They sacrificed a lot on that.
No, definitely. And, you know, we have to place a record for the Gift of the Givers Foundation as well, for Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, for giving and a standing guarantor that the Palestinians who entered, who are in our country at the moment, will have the necessary accommodation. I mean, 153 of the 153, I think 130 have been the accommodation have been allocated to them.
Well, in terms of international law, Mona, the Palestinians are entitled to seek refuge and seek asylum, Mona, in all countries that are members of the United Nations. It is the finding of a genocide inflicted upon Palestinians is itself good reason. It is an imperative of every signatory to the United Nations to see it as refugees and to give asylum to all Palestinian people. Abola, we Zionist terrorist, Mona, they are so evil, Mona, that they even refuse to allow our Palestinian brothers and sisters to leave occupied Palestine, Mona. This is how evil they are. Moreover, any Palestinian can seek refuge and or asylum from any country that is a signatory to the United Nations. The law, the international law, provides that if you are a victim of political persecution or religious persecution in your own country, then you have the right to leave that country and seek asylum or become a refugee in any other country that is signatory to the United Nations. And for example, if you land in Russia, India, wherever, the country you land in cannot refuse you asylum or not. As far as Palestinians are concerned, I'm a lawyer, and now there are other who to tell what that despite the so-called settlement, the case against the genocide Yahud Zionists will continue in the international court. And I'm confident our country will and has already opened its doors up to receive as many Palestinians as we possibly could receive in our country.
No, definitely. I mean, tell yourself, can you explain to us as the listeners, why was there such a backlog that, I mean, for 12 hours that they were on the chartered plane and weren't allowed to disembark that chartered plane?
Well, we can read all just one now. You see, our country is a good country, Mona. In fact, we soon going to host the G20 summit. Our country has people in it who are prisoners, Mona. They will want to embarrass our country. The reason for why the Palestinians were delayed in embarking coming to our country is clearly linked to an association with that group who don't want Palestinians to seek refuge in coming to our country. Mullah Helen Zeller, the leader of the Democratic Alliance, was asked about the genocide in occupied Palestine. She refused to admit it, despite the finding by the United Nations, despite the judgment handed down publicly by Judge Naripalli. Now, these are part of our country who are opposed to distancing and, in fact, condemning the actions of the Zionist zealots in occupied Palestine.
No, definitely, and it's surprising. And also, Mufti Saab had mentioned that if this particular airline, if they are linked to any or have any dealings to do with apartheid Israel, then their license can be revoked. Attorney Saab,
more than that, you know what is very disturbing, probably, Mona. The UAE, Muslim country, Saudi Arabia, Muslim country, the majority of Muslim countries, Morocco. These countries have all recognized this genocidal Zionist regime called Israel. They have become enemies of our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. It is not the truth, the absolute honest truth, Mullah. It is only Yemen. Only Yemen in the whole world that upheld its obligation in the Genocide Convention, which Article 1 provides that a genocide should be punished and prevented. It is only Yemen that has done so. And now recently we have Spain, Italy, Portugal, where we saw thousands of people marching. But it's too little too late, Mona. The sanctions that were inflicted upon apartheid South Africa is not half as bad as it is for this genocidal regime in occupied Palestine. Sure. There is no such place as Israel, and that is why I will appeal to the listeners, don't use the word. From now on, we use the phrase occupied Palestine, inshallah. When you say occupied Palestine, you know exactly what country you're referring to. And so long as it lingers in the minds of us and our kids, Mullah, we will have occupied Palestine liberated, inshallah, Mullah. We must not acknowledge, or we should never acknowledge and accept in our hearts, these people are our enemy. I said it before, the recompense for injury unto equal injury. Our main aim, our dua, our need, Mona, must be, inshallah, we should commit murder and kill more than 70,000 Zionists, Mona. We have to. That will be in the charge of our obligation and sins. They killed our sisters, brothers, babies, kids, Mona. I said it before. This genocidal regime in occupied Palestine are the people who have the most referendums in the world. Norman Finkelstein, a Jew, described this group of people as a lunatic state. They voted more than 75%, and they agreed that civilian men, women, and children may be murdered in Palestine. These people are lunatics, but they cannot live. We should know. I said it before, one of them. The recompense, the Quran, the recompense for injury is injury unto equal injury, one of them. We are not the followers of Gandhi, who was a good man, Madiba, I said it before, was a good man. We cannot forget. We don't forget. We have to discharge the obligation placed upon our shoulders. Allah, through the Quran.
Attorney Saab. Now, something very contrary that happened. The U.S. President Donald Trump had offered asylum for the white people because with the claims that there was a white genocide that was happening within South Africa, right? Now, with the G20, like you mentioned earlier, that's taking place in South Africa, I think next week, Tuesday, Saturday and Sunday, that's going to be on the 22nd and the 23rd of November. And now he mentions that there won't be a representative from the United States that will be attending this G20 summit. Now, can Attorney Saab give us a little more info with regards to this?
Moreover, this is really ironic. I'll tell you why, Wanda. You know, until Dig for History, there was the longest shutdown in the history of the United States of America. That means the equivalent of the parliament were unable to pass a budget. The country, United States, is bankrupt on that. More than 43 million people rely on receiving food parcels. That is the equivalent of 2/3 of the whole population of South Africa. Now, for Trump to refuse to attend the G20 summit hosted by South Africa, that I think it's ironical because America is no longer amongst the G20, the great 20 nations. How can America be amongst the G20 when it can barely pass a budget? Even the budget that is passed now, Mona, they don't have money. And guess what they do? They simply bring more dollars. If you are keeping track of the value of the dollar in the rand, Mona, you will see the price, the value of the dollar is dropping substantially with each passing day. Mona, Trump made the biggest mistake in his life in placing tariffs on China. America owes China in excess of $30 trillion, Mona. And for all the previous years, when America was in an economic squeeze, China will give it breathing space. That has not stopped. And more than that, as recently as yesterday, Ottawa, Canada, and the UK have resolved not to share intelligence with America. Now, Canada and the UK are all members of NATO. This is a clear indication of NATO fragmenting and breaking up and weakening. And this from Allah, Mona. You see, Mona, the laws, the justice takes slow to grind, but inevitably it will happen, Mona. If you observe the politics in America, those people are starving. 43 million of them are relying on food handouts, Mona. Unemployment is rocketing. The value of the country is dwindling. Mona, it's only with passage time they will, inshallah, suffer the same starvation as they inflicted in Palestine, Mona. It's inevitable. When that happens, then the Zionist Zealots in occupied Palestine, they will suffer the brunt. Mona, when things happen, how many of the Zionist Zealots will go to occupied Palestine from Europe? They'll be terrified. If they're not being killed, the big part of America is suffering economic decline. Mona, slowly you will see, Mona, the Zionist Zealots are going to leave occupied Palestine on their own. They can't take it anymore. With the decline in the economy of America, inevitable decline of the economy of the Zionist Zealots in occupied Palestine will happen. When poverty strikes the Zionist Zealots, they will divide and they will depart. And the land of Palestine will be restored to the people of Palestine, inshallah, Mullah. It's going to happen. It has to happen.
No, definitely. And it's a prophecy by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that they will have to, the Palestinians will have to go through this year. And that's when Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come and the appearance of Dajjal, Imam Mahdi, there is so much that is to come. Now, Attorney Saab, with regards to the national shutdown, the U.S. shutdown, the 20 days, and President Donald Trump had made a statement that they will give each family $2,000 to cover their debt of $1 trillion. But it was mentioned within the government that this plan of theirs will never work. It's not going to work. So already there's so much conflict happening within the White House government.
Well, where is the money going to come from? The longest shutdown in the U.S. history. It barely ended, Bonala. The reason for that is because the U.S. does not have money. I was talking to give money to $2,000 to every family.
Yeah.
The simple question is, where is that money going to come from? More than that, if he plans to print more dollars, then the value of the dollar is going to stop. Mona, let me explain to you, Mona. I'll explain to the listeners. Listen, Mona, we all say for Umrah and the Hajj, and we all say for going overseas. Huh? Now, what we do, Mona, we all save dollars. You know, because when you go to the airport, you change your rent for dollars, and then you go overseas, you can either go, you have your check, or you have pure dollars, but you have dollars, it's convenient for you when you go overseas, and you buy what you want to buy. You can have dollars, or you can have a euro, or you can have the pound. Me personally, since the invaded Iraq in 1990s, I changed to euro. But all the time, no, they're all the same. But now, Morala, if you're going to have $20,000, what has happened in the last week? The value of the dollar has dropped. So it'll be very stupid for anyone to keep dollars, because with each passing day, the value of the dollar is dropping. So your money is getting lesser and lesser. What is happening now? Gold is increasing. The value of gold has doubled in less than a year. People should rather invest in buying gold. Gold is the currency of the Sahaba. Gold, you never lose one now. Never ever. But what I want people to understand, your listeners to understand, it's not very difficult. All you do is see your dollars, see what was the value of the dollar 2 weeks ago. What is the value of the dollar now? How many things could you buy with the dollars 2 weeks ago? Can you buy the same things today with the same dollars? The answer is no, because the value of the dollars have dropped. And that is an indication of the paucity of the American economy. The American who support a country that has been found guilty of a genocide are Iranis. They are inevitably going to receive the punishment of Allah. And if you are going to keep the currency, you're going to suffer with it. Don't keep the currency. Make dua for this. For Allah to strike them. As they struck our Palestinian brothers and sisters. Don't support them. Don't have the currency. Stay far away from them. Don't go near the countries. In any way, don't support them, inshallah.
I mean, and now you were speaking with regards to the US dollar, it dropped to 17 then. And you know what, Attorney Saab, just this week, if you watch the market with regards to gold and how the gold price had dropped from one stage, it was $4,200 a fine ounce. It's dropped now today to about 4,039 or 4,018 US.
Gold price, when compared to the dollar, the gold price has increased.
No, significantly, yes, in the past 2 weeks, definitely it has. Now, Attorney Saab, about the 40 million people that were handed out, okay, we discussed that, we touched on it. I don't know if Attorney Saab would like to go further into that topic about the 40 million people dependent on the food handed out from the government.
You see how people watch TV. And you see the arrogance with which Trump parades himself. He parades himself with enormous arrogance as if he's the strongest country in the world, the strongest economy. But the fact of the matter is, the fact is the absolute fact. More than 40 million Americans are receiving food parcels. Like beggars. Now, when the American shutdown, they did not have food. If you watch Al Jazeera, you watch World is One, you will see the fact happening in America. These people are poverty stricken. What do you see in our country? 40, 43 million people looking for food parcels. We know there are poor people in the locations. We give them a chance, but they're not begging and insisting hands up for food. Our budget, we managed to redeem our budget. It's small. We have a 0.5% increase now back, but our country is okay. 43 million people is two-thirds of the majority of the population of our country. America is the poorest economic state right now. And with each passing day, you will see more and more. The Zionist zealots in occupied Palestine will realize that the big father, America, will no longer be able to assist them. More and more, if you see what's happening in world politics in Ukraine, Ukraine is being defeated. I'm not saying the good thing or bad thing. But you can see what Russia is doing. Russia is taking back all the foreign Soviet states. Russia is conducting itself the way it pleases. As I earlier said, the United Kingdom and Toronto, Canada are no longer sharing intelligence with America. NATO and America is crumbling. They're no longer a respected country. Trump's arrogance now that he's been implicated with Epstein files. Trump is an evil, sick, twisted human being, Wallah. The leader of this purported Great of America, was molesting young children. Says Wallah, no shame. Astaghfirullah. But that is the sign that is the beginning of the end, Wallah. When the leader of this country is linked to twisted, sick crime of sexually molesting children, then you see the state of the nation. They must fall, Wallah.
No, definitely they will fall. That country and that superpower will fall. Now, Attorney Saab, now with the G20 coming up and also a Democratic Alliance leader, Helen Ziller, has unequivocally distanced herself from President Trump and also the accusation that the people in South Africa are victims of white genocide. Now, we know that we've been through the apartheid era. And we've come out of it, and alhamdulillah, you know, we don't have such a vast apartheid state. We do have, now and again, we'll get some problem here and there, right, with racial slurs, but not as bad as how it was post-1994.
Mona, I want to appeal to all our people, Mona. The ANC has its ups and downs, but now in this year, Mona, President Ramaphosa unequivocally told Trump and the West, our country will continue with its case at the ICC. We took the Zionist Senate to court. We managed to succeed in having him found guilty of genocide. Moreover, I appeal to our people, the only listeners, you push and support for the ANC, Mona. We must get together, print posters, distribute it, Mona. We should never allow the Senate. Helen Zeller is an evil zealot who refuses to acknowledge the fact that the Zionist regime has been found guilty of genocide. In a public interview, she pretends not knowing that the Zionist had been found guilty of genocide, and she wants to be a mayor here in Johannesburg. We should, Wanda, we'll be very careful. These whiteies, Wanda, Zeller, and whiteies still control the economy. And they control the media, Mona. And their control of the media enables them to propagate and promote the Democratic Alliance. We should assist the ANC in our own way, Mona, in our homes and our schools. We must promote and teach our kids and teach our employees not to fall prey to the propaganda of the Democratic Alliance and the White House. We should remain fervent stalwarts and supporters of the ANC, Mona. I had my doubts about President Ramaphosa, but after the ANC took its stand against the Zionist zealots and persisted and even showed the middle finger to Trump imposed death on us. Our leaders took a firm stand on them and defied me, Allah Akbar. And who suffered the brunt? Trump in America. They had a shutdown. Our country is still fine, alhamdulillah. I make an appeal to all listeners. We support the ANC. Inshallah.
And our beloved Mufti Abdul Qadir Said Saab has passed a fatwa that it's haram to vote for the DA.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, Alhamdulillah. Allah Akbar. Brilliant. I will support him. And I tell you why, Mona. Anyone who supports the Zionist Senate, who have inflicted a genocide, I'm not saying so, a genocide, the United Nations have found guilty of a genocide. I will support Mona 100%. I appeal to the Cape Town especially. If you vote the Democratic Alliance, you are going against a fatwa that is in force. A fatwa is the lowest law in Islam. It's haram. Now, let me explain. What is a fatwa? Look, Mona. You know, as history goes on, as time changes, now, for example, smoking, Mona. Cigarette smoke. Cigarette smoking has been declared haram by means of a fatwa. If I'm not mistaken, in 1996, a fatwa was passed in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. But the position now is smoking is banned, is haram as a result of a fatwa. Mufti Akid's fatwa is perfectly valid. I support it all the way, Mona.
Attorney Saab, with regards to, if you can discuss, how can the private sectors assist the government now that, you know, Joe, Johannesburg for the next 2 weeks is going to be hyped up. There's a lot of delegates that are going to come, international delegates are going to be coming. And how can the private sectors assist government in the acts of vandalism or targeting newly revamped public infrastructure around the Johannesburg and Johannesburg CBD on the eve of the G20 Leader Summit?
Mona, that's a very good question, Mona. Mona, we must look after our country. We must repeat this to our country. I returned to Cape Town a week ago, and I drove through the area of Boksburg, and I was returned to the airport. Mother, the robots were broken. I see there were potholes, Mother. Now, Mother, we can't complain and we can't point a finger at the government all the time. Government has a budget. It's shouldering a lot of responsibility. I appeal to our people, Mother. Will you see whatever you can do to repair a pothole or to repair a broken roadside? Put your hand in your pocket and do it. We must put up a show for the G20, Mona. We can't allow our country to be exempted as what Trump called a shithole in Africa, Mona. We should never allow that. We should be tall solidarity, Mona. More so that our country stood one man band against the Zionist zealots and America and took the Zionist zealots to the International Court of Justice and succeeded in having it found guilty of genocide, Mona. We should stand with our people. I appeal to you, Mona. Will you see that? Get you guys picked up, Mona. When you see a broken board, take it and fix it, Mona. You know, especially now before the G20 summit. Let the foreigners come into our country, let them see our country, a beautiful country, Mona, inshallah.
I mean, once we keep our country like that, we pray and hope that it stays the same, because most of the time, majority of the time, when the country has such events, then after the time it deteriorates, and then we have to revamp, and then the country is going to use its money, and you know, all those other damal is going to happen after that.
Well, for example, the extreme one, the road surface machines were all faded. So I bring a case in the Methodist Court on harassment. I haven't brought the case yet, but today I saw something fantastic. One, I saw them already fixing up road surface machines, which is a very, very good sign. One, it is a sign that our government officials are mindful about the G20, and I think fervent steps to ensure that we receive the foreign guests in our country with dignity, and they will also praise our country and invest in our country more now.
Attorney sir, for some of us who's not sure where is the Cleveland Jumpers informal settlement, please explain to us where is it situated, or in which landmark is it, and the current situation with regards to appalling state of the Cleveland Jumpers informal settlement.
Well, the Cleveland Jumpers informal settlement is near Cleveland, Mona. Cleveland is in a suburb in Johannesburg. Now, Mona, it's a very, very poor informal settlement. It's called a squatter camp. Now, Mona, 59 million rands was allocated for electrification. Now, Mona, what is happening, Mona, in Malawi and Tanzania? They're called solar mamas, and these solar mamas have improved electrification extensively in Tanzania and is moving to Malawi. But now what is happening about us, Mona? 59 million rands was allocated for electrification of the Cleveland Jumpers informal settlement. Now, Mona, that is 59 million rands. We don't know what's happened to it. Now, again, Mona, we're going to wait for 3, 4, 5 years to have commissions of inquiry, etc. In my respect of you, Mona, 59 million rand was unnecessary. If we followed the solar mamas approach in Tanzania and in Malawi, our own mamas could generate electricity using solar panels, Mona. Now, the issue about where the 59 million men went to is an important issue, Mona. 59 million men is a lot of money, and this money has not been spent. But we should be very cautious to put the partial blame. If we do so, we are going to further the propaganda of the DA. So what I want to appeal, for listeners to do is to, before falling prey into brandishing the ANC as crooked or corrupt, let us first see exactly where the 59 million has been to. But the way it's reported in the media is as if it has been lost, the 59 million has been lost through corruption by the ANC. But be careful of that. Be careful of the white men propaganda, Mullah. That's my appeal to all your listeners, inshallah.
But it's amazing, Tony Saab, how, you know, such large, vast amount of money goes missing. Like, the lame man will question himself, and like, where did that money go? How did 59 million disappear? You know, it's mind-boggling.
Mona, you know, last year I had a march in Jamas, right? Jamas, which is I had about 1,000 people to march behind me. I appealed to government, telling them to give me the entire budget for Jamas. And I will have it on a computer. We have the technology now to have the money received and the money spent reflected on a computer screen so I can account for everything. But I tell you the problem here, Mona. Mona, our leaders, our youngsters, Mona, they see they're getting a position of leadership as being their chance. Mona, if you reflect in the days of past, many of our African leaders is now our time. And that culture still remains in the hearts of the young African people. Now this, inshallah, will go with time. But we as Muslim women, we should give dawah. One of the one good thing about Tabligh work is to give dawah. Dawah we should give, and if they see dawah being spread, it will enter into their heart that corruption is harm. They should do that which is good for themselves and for the country. And we should spread Islam, we should spread the teaching of Rasulullah. So, and that, inshallah, will help. Now, for us to criticize is one thing, but we should also ask government to use technology to ensure that there's checks, proper checks and balances insofar as such large sums of money are given or allocated to councillors for whatever purpose one now.
No, definitely. And, you know, you see all these things, you know, it's very important as a community. And I remember, I think it was last year also in the Northwest where they suffered with regards to electricity and the power station and, you know, the community, and they were fighting with the municipality. Now it's very important to have that unity as well.
A very cheap one. I don't think one has followed this one. Yeah. They call the solar mamas.
Solar mamas.
They installing solar panels big time throughout Malawi, Tanzania, Mona, and it's cheap. So we're having a situation where the people are having rights in the most remote rural areas in Tanzania and Malawi. And inshallah, we'll follow the same pattern, and we could have our informal settlements receiving light, receiving solar electrification, Mona, for much, much cheaper.
Inshallah. I tell you, our last topic of discussion, the National Director of Public Prosecution, Shamila Batoyes, refused to reveal the identity of a prosecutor involved in a criminal activity. Do you have more detail on this, Attorney Saab?
Mona, Shamila Batoyes, with a great respect, Mona. She has been an appalling National Director of Prosecution. I say so, Mona. Look, now I support President Ramaphosa, and you know why, because of his time with President. But the truth is, Mona, a commission of inquiry found that President Ramaphosa was responsible for giving the go-ahead for the murder of more than 37 people at Marikana. Mona, that the Marikana miners were destroyed. They could use helicopter, they could use tear gas to disperse them. But it was wrong to give the order to shoot them dead. Then Pala Pala, I started the case. The judge in open court found that, but for my restarted case, the prosecution would not have investigated. But many investigations that were pushed under the table was done under the watch of Shamila Batoyes. And now the final straw, Mona, a refusal to identify a prosecutor involved in criminal activity. That amounts to the crime of defeating the justice. She herself should be charged. But because she is the head of the prosecuting authority, she is not in charge. Now, with respect, Mona, this is widely in the media and her reason for not revealing the identity of the prosecutor who was engaged in criminal activity is wrong. Mm. We should stand up and we should object to this, Mullah. Because if we're going to have the head of the prosecuting authority herself being steeped in criminal activity, what's going to happen to the criminals? The criminality in the country will only increase. Last week we spoke about more than one third of the police force themselves are facing criminal charges. That is bad for the country, Mullah.
Was that the same one we spoke about last week at the in Australia? Yes. Australia?
Right here in our country, Mona. Our policemen.
Right, yes, sir. Mkwanazi. General Nsahla Mkwanazi, and yet that ad hoc committee is still going on.
Yes. But this is wrong, Mona. We can't have Shamila Batoi, the first lead, to be the head of the National Director of Prosecution, conceding the identity of prosecutors engaged in criminal activity. She has to be replaced, Allah. And inshallah, with the help of current Minister of Police, Jero Sachaja, she will be substituted and the crime will be treated accordingly, inshallah.
Inshallah. Ameen. Ameen. Attorney Saab, you've been good as always. Jazakallah khair. And once again, if you'd like to give out your details, you may do so. Attorney Saab, I know you did mention many a times with regards to any situation that any individual in living in South Africa and even in the Gauteng region have any issues or any problems, then they may contact you. I know we do have a new, quite a few number of listeners that join us. So if Attorney Saab can give out his details, inshallah.
My office lines are 011-815-1926 or 011-815-1729. Chair number one is 082-492-5207, Mama.
Attorney Saab, Jazakallah khairan. Inshallah, we will keep in contact during the course of the week. Bi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Ameen. And that was our very own attorney, Zahir Umar. And inshallah, I just want to give you the lineup for the programs that are to follow this evening. And next up will be the Isha Adhan at 9 p.m. And thereafter will be the lecture by Maulana Ahmed Barak at 9 p.m. That will take us from 9 to 10, what Gaza has taught us. Then at 10, from 10 to 11 will be the lecture by Maulana Ilyas Patel, what goes around comes around. And then from 11 to 12, Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaki Al-Shayid. From the team of Merkez Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, and the team of the Legal Eagle, with myself, Brother Sulaiman Yusuf, every Friday evenings between 8 and 9 p.m. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Merkez Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.